Time to head over to the UK now, where Lee Modisett has had a wonderful day one at Glorious Goodwood, where once again, Holly Doyle stole the headlines.
And it's True Shannon and Holly Doyle in front, inside the last 200 yards, and now pulling away in magnificent style. True Shannon is now three or four lengths clear, and he wins the Ulster Cup, Goodwood Cup. True Shannon and Holly Doyle the winner.
Well, sadly, there was no Stradivarius, but Lee, what a great story. Holly Doyle becoming the first female to win the Goodwood Cup. What a day. How was it?
It was a really, really good day, Michael. The weather wasn't bad at all. There was an atmosphere around the place. The racing wasn't probably as good as we expect on the opening day of Glorious Goodwood. We lost the star out with Stradivarius not taking part in the Goodwood Cup, but to an extent, Holly Doyle saved the day. She is not only a very, very talented, very successful jockey, she's a very popular jockey. I think you could see around the place after she won the big race on True Sand, there was a lot of warmth towards her. And she really is becoming a well-known sporting figure over here, not just within racing, but outside of the sport as well.
Well, she was third in the BBC Sports Personality of the Year last year, and if she keeps racking up Group 1s like that, she may well take the overall title for next year's Personality Award. Let's have a listen to what Holly had to say after the win on True Shan in the Goodwood Cup.
I haven't had many Group 1 experiences, especially on a 10 to 11 odds on shot, but so I was feeling it a bit more than normal, but you know, look at him, he's an exceptionally talented animal on this ground.
What was your approach to the race, given that, you know, he can run a little fresh early doors?
Yeah, he was pretty fresh early on. I mean, they're going no gallop, and I expected there to be a bit of pace on, and halfway I thought, I've got to do something about this. I'm not getting trapped on the rail when they're going to sprint finish. So I managed to slide onto the Gerson leaders, which is where he completely dropped the bridle with me, and the further I went, the better. He, you know, sustained the challenge 2.5 down, but when I hit the rising ground, he's gone again.
It was a lovely ride on what was the short price favourite with the withdrawal of Stradivarius. The drama leading up to the race with John Gosden, I don't think many people would have been surprised, but obviously a big disappointment not to see Stradivarius try to win the race again. What do they do with Stradivarius now, Lee?
Well, almost certainly they'll go towards the big York Eagle Festival over 4 days in the middle of August. They've got a Group 2 race over 2 miles that he's won in the past, when it formed part of a £1 million staying series bonus. It doesn't anymore. But realistically, there are only a certain number of races a horse like Stradivarius can run, and as he's now ground-dependent, that potentially reduces at least even more. So he'll go on to Doncaster now, sorry, to York now for the Lonsdale, then put up the Doncaster Cup. Where he goes after that is difficult, because Champions over here now is invariably staged on Stockland, which doesn't suit him. So it was a shame, but I think they've just realised now that they've made the same mistake more than once. They ran him in the Ark last year on ground he hated. They went to Champions Day again on ground he hated. And he was the underperform on both occasions. So I think they feel now, with a 7-year-old, he owes them nothing. Run him on ground that suits him best. So it was disappointing. But realistically, John Gosden flagged it up. We had an awful amount of rain in the morning at Goodwood today. Very localised rain that really made what was already soft ground even softer. So it came as no surprise.
How many more runs, how many more likely appearances will we get to see for the superstar Stradivarius?
Well, that's a big question, isn't it? I mean, I think the assumption was that he would be retired at the end of this season, but I think the assumption always was he would be retired having won the Gold Cup again. Of course, he didn't do that. So whether they try again to have another go at the Gold Cup next year, I mean, realistically, as a staying horse, he's not going to earn his owner, Bjorn Nielsen, a fortune at stud. In reality, they end up as a sire of jumpers. And the covering fees for those aren't what you get for a miler or a sprinter or a 10 furlong horse. But I suspect he'll be retired in this year. I suspect he's becoming a harder horse to train, a harder horse to win with. John Gosden tells the story of how last year, when an able left the yard for the final time in December last season, as she was circling around the yard being applauded on her way to Judmont, Stradivarius was getting quite excited at the sight of a Nabal walking around, and John Gosden had to say to him, not yet, fella, not yet. I suspect that this time next year, the yet will have happened for Stradivarius. Mm.
It is the changing of the guard, and True Shan's the next staying star in the ranks. Glorious Goodwood's one of the great festivals, and it is so good to see crowds back. What was the experience and the atmosphere like?
bizarre, Michael. It's really bizarre in the sense that it felt like a pre-COVID race day. We had there today the Secretary of State for Sport, Digital and Culture, who in effect is responsible for the measures that now we are living by at sporting events. And he was very relaxed, very happy. But when you looked around the place, you wouldn't have known this was a post-COVID race day. There were very few people wearing masks. There was no obvious attempt at social distancing. It felt very much how it used to be before. Now, I think for some people, they will be uncomfortable about that. I know I was working at a very low-grade race meeting last week, just road testing about the races in the new era. And I was in one of the bars there. The doors were open, but it was still an indoor space. And I know there were people who felt uncomfortable that not everybody was in a mask, even people behind the bar. But I think for some people, and I'm sure this will be increasing the case in Australia too, there will be people who want to feel more protection against the virus, and there will be those people who just want to get back to life how it used to be. And satisfying both those constituent groups isn't going to be easy. But certainly on racecourses over here in the last 2 weeks, it has felt like it did before, which in some ways is absolutely fantastic. Some ways feels slightly surreal. I think what we are seeing is that the numbers aren't necessarily there at all racecourses as yet. So Ascot, for example, on Saturday, we had a magnificent King George, great race by a great horse in Adyar. In a normal year, Ascot would have about 30,000 people for the King George. They had about half that this year. Now, they made the point that they hadn't had long in which they could sell tickets because, obviously, the restrictions were lifted quite late on. But it was still quite surprising. We had 12,500 people there today. It's always the quietest day of the week at Glorious Goodwood. But I think it will be interesting over these next few weeks and months just to test how enthusiastic people are to get back to normal. What racing is a great thing is it's an outdoor sport, so you are safer anyway. But I still think there were some people who maybe a little bit more reticent. But most people, they were there, they're enjoying themselves, having a great day, and I think they were just pleased that the world looks a little bit more like we used to know it.
Well, it is a great week, and tonight the Group 1 Sussex Stakes is the feature. Poetic Flair's the short price favourite, unfortunately, no. Palace Pier, and then we get to see Patash, who's looking to create history a little later in the week as well. Do they both win?
I think Patash wins. Yeah, I think he had a genuine excuse at Royal Ascot. It was his first run of the season. I think in the final furlong, the fact that it was his first run of the year just told when he flattened out sliding. Goodwood is absolutely made for him. He's got so much pace. It's largely a downhill race course. That's what he wants. And I think he'll win. I think the Sussex Stakes is a more open contest. Poetic Flair was dazzling at Royal Ascot in the St James's Palace, but that came on very fast ground. Not going to be very fast ground here tomorrow, because even though we're not getting any rain at the moment, it seems the ground will dry out. It'll be tacky, it'll be difficult. I think that might well make him vulnerable. He's taking on two very good fillies in Alcohol Free and Snow Lantern. They've both got good form on soft ground. We haven't yet really had any races to bring those two sexes together, the courts and the fillies. Tomorrow we really find out which one of the two are better. And I think Alcohol Free, at about 8-1 over here, she's certainly wasn't most of today. She loves the soft ground. I think better than she showed last time. She'll be dropped in. I think she could cause a bit of a shock. And there's also at about 25-1 called Century Dream, who's never won a Group 1 race before. He probably isn't Group 1 class, but on this ground, he can elevate his performance, and he could be an each-way play in that one as well.
All right, we'll watch those tonight very eagerly. Obviously, the headline act was Glorious Goodwood, but over at Galway in Ireland, headlines were made as well with a mix-up in this race.
Past time, and Alizarin is looking for daylight in between them. Inside the final 200 yards, it's Twinkle and Radik at the market principles. Joined on the outside by Alizarin, and Alizarin is picking up nicely for Shane Foley and Jessica Haddington, their third first of the week. Second is Twinkle, Radik at third, and Past Time fourth.
So there was a mix-up, I believe, with Jessica Harrington's horses. What was the situation, Lee?
Yeah, the problem for Alizarin was it wasn't Alizarin. It was a stable companion called Aurora Princess, who was due to run elsewhere on the card, and quite simply the person who was responsible in the yard for identifying the horses, putting the saddle on the right horse, got the wrong horse Jeff Carrington was saying afterwards, they're basically almost identical twins, these two, to look at. You'd think they were the same horse. And one's a three-year-old, one's a two-year-old, and the three-year-old was racing in place of the two-year-old and won the race. The report will be sent to Irish Racing's regulator. Jessica Harrington apologised. But people will still say, how on earth in 2021 can the wrong horse run in a race? And of course, we had this in Britain last year. We've had it before, but the most famous case from last year in a Group 1 at Newmarket, when Aidan O'Brien's two horses in the race, Mother Earth and Snowfall, got confused. And we thought Snowfall had finished third, which was right down, back down the field, where we thought Mother Earth was back down the field, she's actually third. And bizarrely, those two fillies, we got confused, or they got confused on the day, and subsequently won Classics of Plenty, the 1,000 guineas, and the Oaks and the Irish Oaks. There are calls in both countries for the systems to be tightened up. Ideally, you would want scanning of horses as they go around the parade ring. I think after a lot of things with regulation, there are question marks of costs. There are question marks about the participants, whether they want or not, whether all the procedures you could do would be physically safe. I've been question marks about the scanning of horses in that regard. But it just seemed ridiculous. And I think a particular problem with this case, Michael, has been that people who backed Alizarine haven't received their money back. He's been deemed to have been a runner, which has been disqualified, even though the horse that punters thought they were backing was in a box on the race course, not taking part in the race at the same time. So a proper farce. And Irish Racing has had a lot of this in the last year or so. It's been one farce after another in many ways. And this just adds to the woe and to the challenged recent reputation of Irish Racing's regulation.
That is the most ludicrous decision, though, isn't it? That the punters do their money cold on a horse that wasn't even racing and never raced, and they never had a hope to get any money or possible return back. I just can't understand how that decision's been made.
Yeah, you couldn't make it up. And the people you feel sorry for are the people representing the organisation who have to try and defend that position and try and mount what they attempt to make a coherent, credible argument for it. Mm. There is no credible argument why you can lose money having backed a horse in a race who didn't run in the race and didn't even set foot on the race course for that race, and yet you have lost money on that horse. It's a complete mess.
Absolutely. Lee, enjoy the rest of Glorious Goodwood. We'll catch up with you soon.
Cheers, Michael.